So let's begin. So the we began discussing last week the different perspectives on what Shnayim Ochzin Yachloku really means. Whether or not, basically, Shnayim Ochzin B'Talal Zomer Nimitzasiya Zomer Nimitzasiya Zomer Kulishali Zomer Kulishali Zayishba She'en Pakos Mechetzia Zayishba She'en She'en Pakos Mechetzia. So basically, two people making mutually exclusive claims of ownership over a single object. What we're told is that if each one is holding on to the talis, so we split it, and each one takes a shua that says, declaring that he owns not less than half of the object. That's the Mishnah, and that's what we're discussing. So we're focusing on last week was the nature of this yachloku. We know that there, in the world of halachic decision making, that their yachloku comes up in a bunch of places. Sometimes yachloku is a din sapek, and sometimes yachloku is a din vadai. In the case of sumchas from the chachamim, the Mishnah dav kuf omer aleph, right? The Mishnah says, hamach lipar b'chamor, if you exchange animals, you barter two animals, so the rule is that when you make a kinyan on one, then the other one switches into the other rishos. That's what happens. So what happens when you do this kind of bartering, this kind of an exchange, and one of the animals is pregnant and gives birth to a child. And we're not really sure whether or not that took place a minute before, a minute after the point of the kinyan. In other words, we don't know whether the child belongs to the mocher or to the lokeach, meaning to the previous owner or to the present owner of the mother. So we know that Sumchas is of the opinion, Chachamim are of the opinion, that we say Motzi Mechavero Olav Arayah. And even if it isn't actually the animal, or the blood is not in the Rishus of the Mocher, it doesn't make a difference. He was a Marakam. So that's the concept of Motzi Mechavero Olav Arayah, one way or another. But Sumchas is of the opinion that Yachloku, that Cholkin Velo Shua. In that case, you split the value of the blood, and no one takes a shua. That's called Momon Hamutal B'Safek Acholkin. Right, similar issue in Sugya Bava Kama Daf Membav with a Nezek case. Right, the one animal attacked another animal, and then you find the blood, you know, afterwards, and we're not sure whether or not it's a result of the attack or something independent happened. So that too is called Momon Hamutal B'Safek, and according to Sumchas, Cholkin. So the moment I'm with the Safek, Kishmo Keinu, is a Safek. So it's Sumchas telling you that, you know, Cholkin is an acceptable solution for a Safek.
Marakama loses in that case, basically.
What do you mean the Marakama loses?
Because, I want an exchange, so I got my exchange.
What do you mean you got your exchange?
I'm changing the Chamorro for the shot.
Right.
So I got the Chamorro right now. Now it's a question where he gave birth. What's the difference? I put that.
No, the vlad. The question is what is
the vlad? I'm talking about what was on the vlad. I mean, the Chamorro.
No, there are two animals. They agreed to exchange animals. They didn't make allowance for the you know, the pregnancy. One way or another. So just it's going to depend on when the critical moment was. But the point is that with regard to that question, so there's another $50 at stake.
I understand.
So I'm not understanding.
But I want to exchange it, right?
You want to exchange a $200 para for a $200 chamor. Each one has a different need. So the vlad obviously wasn't a part of the negotiation.
No,
one way or another. But it'll go automatically depending on when the kinyan was. But we don't know when the kinyan was. Now it could be shema v'shema, could be bari v'bari. That's makorkus in the Gemara. But either way, the point is that there's another $30, $50, whatever, at stake here, and we just have no clue. We could have no clue because no one knows, or we could have no clue because each one says that he knows, but bari, and therefore we just don't know what to do. All I'm saying is that sumchas is. Psak is a moment of mutu b'safek haikolkin. But that's a din safek, because no one pretends that this chaluka is based on each one having, you know, real. On the other hand, there's another yakloku, and that's the yakloku that the Gemara speaks about in Babasra and Ksumas, we talked about also. Shnei shtoros hayotzim biomechad. Let's say Ruvain owns a field, and he sells the field. He signs a contract to sell the field. He gives a contract to Shimon and a contract to Levi, not telling either one that he's giving it to the other as well. And it's in a place where Ein Kosvin Shavos, let's say. So he says, on Tuesday I hereby bequeath my property. I sell it to you, or I give it to Matana on Tuesday. So the halacha is, since the Ein Kosvin Shavos, so for purposes of Gevi'a and Chasim Shabbatim and the Kinyan, etc., so the Kinyan can only be chal the last minute of Tuesday. But the point is that the both people come with the contract with the exact same date or moment, so that's the view of Rav. Rav says, Shmuel said, Shnei Shtaros, Yotzim Yamechad, Shuda Dedaini. The judge will decide. Rav said, Yachloku. So according to the Ri, not everybody agrees, but the Ri, one of the Bali Tosis, the Ri, the famous Ri, the Ri said that this is a Yachloku, which is based on the principle of Muchach Bitocha. We were in Gittin a few years ago, we talked about this. That's the idea that if it, a shtar, a contract, has to be self-sustaining. Right? It has to be self-sufficient. Meaning there, you can't rely on, according to Rav Meir, who says, Edechassima Tarsi, if you need Muchach Mitoko, you can't rely on extraneous or external factors, right, to determine the details of this contract. It all has to be, you know, muchach mitoko, literally, right? It has to come from within. So, in other words, it has to be unequivocal. So the point is, says the Ri, according to Rabbi Meir, the pshat in Shnei Shtaros Yotzim B'Yamechad is this guy obviously is a bit of a sneaky fellow, right? Because he claimed to be selling the whole land to two different people at the same time. But so, it's his land and he can do what he wants with it. So what he really did was, at the same second, he was mezakeh to Matana or Mecha, whatever it is, to two different people. But that what that means then is, there's no suffix, right? According to Rabbi Meir, according to the Ri, there's no suffix, it's an invadai. It's not nice. But he vadai gave half of the whole sada to two different people, which means that he gave them the equivalent each of a half. Now the question is, so that's an example of Yachloku, right, in the context of what looks like a safek, but turns out to be a real vadai. So there's a yachloku of vadai, and there's a yachloku of safek. I'm just using that to highlight the problem. When we have shnayim okazin, the question is, which is that? And the other part of that halachic background, in addition to the models, two different models of yachloku, one safek and one of vadai, is the idea of tisa, which we've discussed so often. In other words, chazaka koma shatachas yadada mareya shalom. If a man is holding an object exclusively, I mean, he's the only one holding the object. So we presume that he is the owner, all things being equal. And we certainly say, hamotzi mechamera olaraya, that the burden of proof that he's not the owner is on the other party. The party wants to take it away. He wants to change the status quo and take it from him. The question is, what happens when two people are holding on to an object at the same time? So do we say each one is a tofes and each one is tofes b'chatzi? Do we say each one is a tofes b'kol, but that means you have to split it b'chatzi? Or do we say that when two people are holding on together at the same time, they cancel each other out with their tfisas? And then what we're in the situation of is stopping. Not that each one has a vadai tfisa b'chatzi, but that each one, right, has no tfisa, each one has a taina without tfisa, in which case we'd probably be doing better to look at simchas as a model than anything approximating a din vada. So what we saw last week was that this seems to be a very basic machlokas between the Rishon. And it comes up in the following, we gave two contexts in which it's come up. The first one is Tosis here, where Tosis asks the question, Tema, Maishna, Maidar. What's the difference between the case here in Shnayim Oksim Batalus and the Gemara in Vav Basra, which says that Kol Da'alim Gavar, Parachaskas Abatim. That's the, if anybody have the sheets from last week, again, that's the case here where we say Zelmer Shalavosai, Amrav Nachman, Kol Da'alim Gavar. That's the, 1 second. Vav Basra Lamed Da'alim Gavar Beis. Hahu Arva Da'alim Solam Beitrei. There was a certain boat that there was a conflict over that boat, the ownership of the boat. Hayomer didihi, each one says the boat is It's mine. So one of them came to court and he said, listen, Bezdin, do me a favor, before he does anything with this boat, you know, hold on to it, seize the boat, and I'm going to bring Adim, you know, forthwith. So then the question is, will Bezdin do that or not? Will they, on the chance that he really has Adim, and therefore they should be preserving intact this commodity, by waiting for the Adim to come, should they get involved on the basis of this say-so or not? Rav Huna Amar Tafsinan, Rav Yudah Amar Lo Tafsinan, and then the Gemara tells Ozav Leyashke Ksadi, which it turns out he couldn't produce the witnesses. Now what do you do now? Amadu Afkua B'chol Da'am Gavar. The guy said, well, okay, fine, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to mislead you, or I didn't mislead you, but whatever it is, I can't produce the Adim. But now release the object into a state of Kol Da'am Gavar. Mafkinan Olo Mafkinan. Does Bezdin do that or not? So the Gemara says, Rav Yudah Amar Lo Mafkinan, but Papa Amar Mafkinan. So that's the argument, the second argument in the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, Hilchos Lo Tafsinan, Vehechad Tafas Lo Mafkinan. They shouldn't get involved. If they do get involved, then they shouldn't release the object. Hopefully we'll get back to this. Zeh Marshal Avos, Zeh Marshal Avosai. Again, in background, another case. Each one says it's obvious it's mine. Straight, Amar Rav Nachman, called Alim Gavar. Okay. Then the Gemara itself says, "My shno, mishtei shno, so yotzu b'yamecha." They begin to ask two questions. What's the difference between that case and sumchas? That's the second question. What's the difference between that case and shnei shtaros, yotzu b'yamecha? The Gemara itself is trying to figure out when you apply which method of dispute resolution. Yeah.
In the case of shnei shtaros, yotzu b'yamecha, so according to the lien, they take effect at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, why didn't it make
that
close? Each one paid
them. Well, it doesn't have to be paid, number one. Presumably, it could be a case of matana.
No, but
according to some Shonen Vidafka, it's a case of matana. If it's a case of mecher, so, you know, but each one wants the field. So obviously, he can't pocket the full amount for half of the
whole.
So you have to make an adjustment. The question is how, you know, if money was spelled out, maybe you could turn it into mekhtos. If it was just, you know, the value of the field, and each one is interested, then each one has still a half a right, or a right and a half, you know, to complete the mecca. Well, we're talking about a situation where that isn't a factor for whatever reason. But for other reasons, including, you know, whether you paskin in Chasima or in the Mesira Karsi, etc., there are a group of Rishonim anyway, Bali Tos already talked about this, so think that we're talking about a Shtar Batana more than a Shtar Mech. But in Shtar Mech it could work out too, just as to adjust the case a little bit to make sure that it isn't a mechatos. Yeah.
Here, Bezdin.
Yeah.
Agreed to hold on to this vote.
Yeah.
On the basis of one party saying, "I will bring Hagen." Now that in itself is revealing to us something.
Sure.
Bezdin would accede to this type of request.
That's a question of the Gemara. That's the goof of what the Gemara is asking. And there are two ways. Absolutely. And there are two.
The other side contests this. You shouldn't.
Right.
Right.
So no, that's exactly what the Gemara is wondering. Do they have the right to intercede even temporarily? So I think that there are two issues involved in that. I just want to get into it right now, but I'll just mention very quickly. One is a general question in Hilchos Bezdin, in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Namely, will Bezdin be involve themselves in the absence of evidence, you know, on one side of the case, even if it isn't, or, you know, only if it's not irrevocable? Even if it's not irrevocable, they won't. What are the parameters that dictate Bezdin's involvement? That's one question. The other question is the alternative. That's what are they involving themselves in as opposed to... Shkoach, thank you very much. As opposed to what? Right? Does everybody have? So these are the new ones, right?
Yeah,
thank you so much. So the... we'll have to make sure to get to them, so the trouble will be worth it. So the it'll help in see in a minute. So the question is, what is Bezdin giving up, or what is the Bali Dinim giving up if Bezdin intervenes? The answer in this case is Kol Da'alim Gavar. So from this, to delay Kol Da'alim Gavar, is that considered an interference? That depends on how you understand Kol Da'alim Gavar, right? We made allusion to it already last week, right? Is Kol Da'alim Gavar? Well, there should be three.
Yeah.
First place is the Rambam. Rambams. Okay. So just to answer your question, the question is whether or not Beis Din will intervene. How much does it take for Beis Din to be intervening? They don't want to do superfluous things. That's the Hilchot Sanhedrin halacha. The other question is, what is the alternative? What are they interfering with? Now, in this case, they're interfering with Kol Da'alam Gavar. So this Kol Da'alam Gavar is a sila, what we call sila, meaning it's Beis Din closing their eyes and disengaging and saying, we have nothing more to do. But there's no advantage, there's no status or stature to Kol Da'alam Gavar, then it makes it more likely that Beis Din could interfere. But if Kol Da'alam Gavar is a method of resolving disputes through Birur, or something like it, for example, the way the Rosh explains, I'll just mention the Rosh again very quickly, the Rosh in the beginning of Bava Metzia, and again in Bava Basra, and again in the Tshuva, says that Kol Da'alam Gavar is not just strong arm tactics. Kol Da'alam Gavar has at least a measure of Birur. Why? Since when does strength or might prove anything? Because if a man knows that the object is his, he's going to be more persistent and more tenacious fighting for it. And if another man knows that he's a thief, right, so A, he doesn't have the same level of motivation. Moreover, he knows there's a good chance always, and it's interesting because the Gemara says in Bava Basra that we only apply Kol Da'alam Gavar in a case that's called Ika Lameka Malad Milsa, where there's still a possibility that there will be evidence. So the Rosh says in the Tshuva, because since there's always, since there's always a possibility that there'll be real evidence, so that's another reason for the Ghana, for the Goslin, to try a little less hard. Right? Because in the end of the day, you might lose it anyway. So he's willing to expend a little effort. But the fellow who's a victim, both in terms of his, you know, righteous indignation, you know, or, you know, the sense of justice, you know, plus the fact that he's not going to be embarrassed by the Edom, if they ever come, are going to prove that he was right. Right. So my point is that when Beis Din decides to interfere, or in the second case, well, they interfered, right? And there was no Edus. The guy couldn't produce the Edus. So now the question is, Mafkinan or not? Should they release to what? There are two questions again. Number one, will Beis Din, once they have their hands on something, once it's under their aegis, right, is it from the standpoint of Hilchos Sanhedrin, right, will they release something into a state of suffering? But there's also, again, a Kol Da'alam Gavar part of the question. Will they release it into a state of chaos? Maybe the nature of Kol Da'alam Gavar is that you close your eyes and disengage. But you can't initiate chaos. Right? That's a stira minei ubei. So that's why this is a very fascinating Gemara in Bava Basra, and I hope we'll get back to
the intervention of Beis Din was in this particular instance because of the alternative.
Exactly. Even though Beis Din probably would be less likely to intervene if the alternative was something that was more compelling, here it's called Alam Gavar, and that makes that's a wrinkle in the case. And that's why it's
interesting.
What about it?
No, we talked about that.
No. Who arva davin? The boat. Shnei shlosh yom echad. It's yachloko or it's shuda. That's what it is.
I mean, but
there's no evidence to bring in that case.
Right. Well,
at least not according to our mayors.
One prior in time
right, so that depends on what I mentioned before. Now, if you interpret like the Reed, Rabbi Meir, it's not going to help, it doesn't matter, because Ein Kosvin shows, and therefore the actual Kinyan was the last second of the day. The Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, they interpret differently. They think that's also a case of Safek, and there it would matter if there was Edom or not. But you know, if you're talking about the Reed, Rabbeinu, the Reed and Bali Tosas, they don't read it that way.
But isn't it in the case of an obvious toast?
What do you mean toast? Why is it a toast?
The owner of the property did deliberately.
He did. He wrote a contract to two different people on the same day.
Yeah, but that could have been
Sorry?
You're a non-liberal. You're forgetful. You reach a certain age. You don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
I can speak.
Could be, but it's likely that it was deliberate, but it doesn't really matter so much. But the assumption in most cases that he did this. He's responsible for what he did. You know. So at the end of the day, he wrote a contract, an equal contract to two people for the same subject. Okay, anyways, getting back to the main point. Tosfos asks a question. Tosfos says, why there Arba, in the case of Arba, Kodal and Gavar, here Yachlok? So another part of the question, which I don't want to get to right now, is, what is the question that Bali Tosfos are asking? And earlier, Ben Uchananel and the other Rishonim. Are they asking that in Vava Basra we should have said Yachloku in the boat case? Or are they asking that in Bava Metzia we should be saying Kodal and Gavar? If I ask you, my Shana, what's the difference? I could just mean, what's the difference? Because I don't know. Or I might have something in mind. You know, I think that the default is Kol Alam Gavar, and I'm wondering why that isn't true always, or I think that the default is Yachloku. That goes back to the question that I raised two or three weeks ago, which is, you know, when you look at the various methods of resolving disputes, right, which is the most attractive and for what reason? So I hope we'll still get back to that. I'll speak a little more about Kodal and Gavar. Yeah, Tosfos asked the same question there. We have it on the sheet, on the first sheet. And all the Rishonim ask this question. And they ask it different ways. Sometimes they say Mishnah. So if you look at the Rush, for example, and Tosfos and Bava Basra, it's pretty clear that they're asking, why don't you say Kodal and Gavar and Bava Metzia? But if you look at the second day of Tosfos and Bava Basra, it's pretty clear that you have to read, the question is, why don't you say Yachloku in Bava Basra? Okay? So it's very fascinating, you know, you have to be careful when you read it, but there's so much to pull out when you're careful. Anyways, what's Tosfos' answer? Tosfos in both places, on the Rosh as well, because the answer is Shlomar, the oaks and shiny, the chashuv kilo kolech and yeshba, the badai achetzi, and on sabi, the might is not the tidy day, who? And so on. Tosfos gives the answer, each one is a toe face. Each one has chazaka. And even uses the language that anansadi divide the top aside the dehu. It's a very strong language. We attest to the fact that each one, you know, has a half. Even though the likelihood that each one really has a half is extremely low. It's kaluka yicholi atemis. It's possible they picked up at the same time, but it's not likely. But it doesn't matter. They're tfisa. Each one has a tfisa on half, according to Tosfos. In Tosfos Bava Basra and in the Rush, they quote Nafskad Rababa. I mentioned this last week, I don't want to repeat the whole thing. Nafskad Rababa is the idea, again, that, you know, as anybody who's holding on to something is presumed to be the owner. If you take it away from him without proper evidence, it's like you're stealing it from him. We presume him to be the real owner, Ad Kadeka. So what Tosfos and the Rush, the Rajba, what they all seem to be saying is, Shnayim Ochsa Vitalis are two tfisas. Two tfisas. However, the Riva in Tosfos Bava Basra, we read it last week, gives a different answer to the question. He says the difference between the boat and the talis is not whether or not they're holding on or they're not holding on. The talis might be a case where they're not holding on either. The difference is Vadai Ramai. In the case of the talis, there's no Vadai Ramai. Because it's possible that each one picked up at the same time and they're just not aware. He thought he picked it up first, he thought he picked it up first. But it's not Badai Ramai. In the case of Bava Basra, Ahu Arba, each one says, Zomer Shalavosai, Zomer Shalavosai, right? Somebody's lying. When somebody's lying, you say, Kol Alam Gavar. When no one is lying, necessarily, you could say, Yachloku. That's the Riva. But what emerges from the Riva, the most important the thing that comes out of the Riva is that the case of Shnayim Ochsa Betalis does not have to be a case of Shnayim Ochsa Betalis. It could be any case, right, even without any physical tfisa, as long as it's Ein Vadai Ramai, and you'll say Yachloku. But that has to be Yachloku B'Safek. What's Yachloku based on? They're not necessarily holding on. So we pointed out last week that the Rambam also may hold this way. That goes from Minyan, so it's in the new sheets that we have. Let's be going back and forth between them. So the Perek Tes, Halacha Zayin, the first Halacha, Rambam says, Shnayim Hayu Ochsin B'Kli Echad, two people are holding on to a single object, Oshay Yerokhin Al Gad V'Behema Achas, or traveling on a single behema, or she'achar rocha v'chad manig, and then he says, O yoshvin b'tzad arema shol chitin, or they're standing on the side of a pile of chitin. Now, standing on the side of a pile of chitin, or sitting on the pile of, on the side of the pile of chitin, is not ochazin. Rochev is ochez, and manig is rochez, and ochazin is ochez. But sitting next to a pile of chitim is not, presumably not, ochzin. Right? Medachas besimta, b'chatzah shol shneim, b'chatzah shol shneim you could say is, but not simta. Zemar kol shali, zemar kol shali, kol echem b'shneim, b'shvam b'kitzat kefet, shem lo b'zadav, or prophets b'chatzah v'yachloku. Right? So where did the Rambam get this from, and what are its implications? So the Hagos Maimonides says the Rambam holds like the Riva. He holds that Shnayim Ochzin B'talos Prat Afka. The Tur disagrees a little bit. The Tur says what the Rambam means here is that you need to be in a makom she'et shalasos kinyan. Okay? That's something, but it's still short of Ochzin. It's still not chazak or komash atakas adon of a rei of shalach.
Kenyan.
Yeah, like a symptom. So we'll see. So this, I wanted to say last week that the Balitosis and the Rambam are Lushitasam, because on Dam Zayin, on Manalev, there's a discussion about situation where, that's what the Gemara says, that the Mishnah is talking about Kalecha Tokens Pekakashta, each one's holding the fringes of the talis. But if it was Zev Notel, Zev Ochez, Bi Achi Yada Magas, and Zev Ochez, Kashi Yada Magas, we would say Zev is then Notel Achi Yada Magas. In other words, if he's holding 30%, he's holding 20%, then we'd say he gets 30, he gets 20, and they split the other 50. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara then says, that there are two Gersos in the Gemara, whatever, that in the case of the Kartashta, certainly, yeah, fake a shmu. The Tosaf says in Nav Zayin and Aleph, you have to take a shvua not only in the Karkashta case, but in the Yadam Agas case too. Because it doesn't really make a difference. In both cases, we're worried, as Rabbi Yochanan said, Shaloi he kolacha toke petaliso shol chadera. We're worried that people shouldn't have an incentive to try to grab other people's property. So you have to take a shvua. So Tosaf says, there's no difference between Karkashta and Yadam Agas. The Rambam, however, if you look here now at Halacha, test next halacha. Ram says, "How you shnayim adukin betalas?" Sorry, two people are adukin betalas. Adukin instead of oxen, right? Might mean physically. Probably means physically holding on. Zemakulishli. Zed notalad makom sheyado magas. The zed notalad makom sheyado magas. The hashar whatever's left chokin b'shava achar shenishbaim. And the rest you'll split it after shavua, right? And then the Rambam adds. Meaning what? The Achiyono, if the whole thing was Achiyono Magas, there would be no Shvua. If one older guy was holding 70%, and the other guy was holding 30, or 160, or 140, or 155, and 40, it doesn't make a difference what the numbers are. Right? According to the Rambam, there'd be no Shvua. But if one is holding 20 and the other one's holding 10 and the rest is in the middle, that's like Karkashta, so you have to make a shul on the 70%. So then they can, each one can be Megalgal on the other one for the 20 and the 10. That's only as a secondary Gilgul shua, not in its own right. Why not? Why is the difference between Karkashta and the other Magas? So there could be more than one explanation, but the explanation I think makes sense in light of the other Rambams that we'll discuss in a minute, including one we already saw. The Rambam does not understand, like the Balei Tosfos, that two people holding on are each one chazak or komas shetakas yadam arei shalom. He thinks that if two people hold on to the same object, they cancel each other out. Now that doesn't mean he holds like the Riva, necessarily, who said that you don't even need okazim at all. I don't know if you have to go that far, but that the oxen may be necessary, not to say called the Alam Gavar, because you're not going to initiate a state of chaos. So even if two people even if they cancel each other out vis-a-vis separate or with respect to being separate tisos, right, but still you're not going to take it away from the joint custody to let them box it out in the arena. So you might still need Shnayim Ochzim in order to say Achloku, but it's not because Kolecha Tofes Bechetzei Anan Saadi. That's why I think the Rambam's Lishitasa. And we'll see in a minute that there are more Rambam's Lishitasa. Now, when it comes to this Machlokas, it's important to know that this line of Anan Sahadi is a Gemara. Right? And it's a very strong proof for Tosas and for the Rosh and for the Rajba, all of whom take this position. I just want to show you the Gemara in a minute, but I just want to show you that it's not necessarily Halacha. The Gemara says on Gimel Amud Aleph, Tani Rav Chiya. This is on towards the bottom. There are two dots. You'll see 3, 6, 9, 12, 15. About 17 lines up from the bottom of the page. Right? Tani Rav Chiya. Mana libya dacha. Right? One guy says to the other fellow, you owe me $100. Hello, Mary. I don't owe you anything. That's called Kofra Kol. Right? The whole claim is denied. Kofar HaKol. Normally, what's the deal of Kofar HaKol? The person makes a Shavuos Heses, and he's potter. And the Drabbanan, you have to take a Shavuah, called Heses, and you don't have to pay a penny. But in this case, what happened is a ring call. Ha'edim, mi'edim, oso, she'yesho, kamishim, zuz. The Edim testified that he owes part of the money. Now, if he admitted that he owed part of the money, that's called motu b'mitzvas, and it's chayav shvuah d'oraisa. But he didn't admit anything, he was kofar hakol. The Edom said he owed. Now, the Edom, once they say he owes, he has to pay. But does he also have to swear on the rest? That's the issue. So the Gemara says, no sonu chamishim zuz, the hishava al hashar, he'll take a shvuah on the rest. There's a kavakomer that Edim should not be inferior in their capacity to be mechayev the nitva. Then hodos baldin is, and if he admitted half, he'd have to take a shrua. Therefore, when there are Edim against him on half, he should have to take a shrua as well. That's the whole gemara next to the two dapim. Or daf and a half is going to be analyzing whether or not this kal v'chomer shlo yehei hodas or shlo tehei hodas piv gedola me'adas edim, is that a good kal v'chomer or not a good kal v'chomer? What's the relationship between the power of hodas baldin and the power of edim? Right, is admission as opposed to evidence against him?
Fine.
Yeah, I mean, we could. In theory, we don't say rov lahotzim mamon, but okay. Sorry? There isn't in this case. Had there been, if I say you owe me $100, and you say, I don't owe you $100, but I owe you $30, then you have to pay the $30 that you admit. And on the other $70, you have to take a shvuah d'oraisa. That's called motu b'mitzvas hataina.
Right.
Now we want to know, when the same thing happens, I say you owe me $100. You say, I don't owe you a penny. The Edim say, we know that he owes at least $30, right? So you still have to take a shvuah on the other 70 like you would have if you admitted, or since you didn't admit, even though you're paying, is it the fact that you admit part, or the fact that it's established that you owe part? That might be a way to put the question. Right?
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll get back to that topic eventually.
The circumstances are such that
Adam might be the same, the equivalent, so yeah, 100%. Okay, now, what does this have to do with us? We're learning, we're not up to here yet. We're not doing Shnayim Olsim V'Talos. The answer is, the Gemara initially thinks to bring a proof from Shnayim Olsim V'Talos. The Tana Tuna, okay, the Tana brought a support from the Mishnah. Listen to this. Shnayim Olsim V'Talos, there no more mitosia, ani mitosia v'chulei. Right? V'ha, says the Gemara, hacha, kibbe the tafis, since each one is holding on to the talis, anan sahadi, it's like we can attest to the fact by the tfisa has the effect of convincing us that my detapas haidi day, or my detapas haidi day, that each one is owner on half. But each one claims that he owes, each one says a whole, and we all, it's like we have the equivalence of evidence on a half. Uktani, and the Mishnah says, Yishba, that he takes a shrua. Why would you take a shrua in the case of the Mishnah? apparently Shalotei Hodos Piv, based on the principle of Shalotei Hodos Piv Yoser Mehadas Eidim. Right? Then the Gemara goes on to analyze that logic. So what do we see from the Gemara? The Gemara is doing a remarkable thing. And this is what Tosfos is quoting. Like, once you appreciate, you know, once you understand, you know, where the quotes come from, you know, it's always much more intriguing. The Gemara has a remarkable Hava Mina. That the Tfisa of each one in the Karkashta of the Talis is the equivalent of Eden being made in Bezdin, that each one has passed. That's what Tosfos is quoting. That's what the Rajba quotes. The Ramban also quotes it, but in a much more tempered way. I'll try to show you. To show that this is a din vadai based on tefisa, because if it wasn't, how can the Gemara call it a non-savi? What will the Riva and Tosfos of Basra or the Rambam, if I'm right, what will they do with this Gemara? It's an explicit Gemara. It says a non-savi. Wow. Right? The answer is whether they thought the Gemara really meant it to begin with is one thing, but either way, it doesn't sustain itself the maskana. Why? Because the Shmur de Mishnah is not a Shmur de Raisa. It's a Shmur mitakon eschachonim. Shloi yei kalecha tokev betali. We learned already the Gemara later on. Betali. So we're jumping around a little. Betali. So shochaveira. It's not a Shmur. It's not one of the mitzvahs. Moreover, the case of Hadas Eden and Hadas Piv is a case where what? You have Eden. One man makes a claim. The other one denies. Then the Eden come along and they support Miktsas of the Taina. Right? And the question is, what spillover effect does that have on the rest of the Taina vis-a-vis Shua, right? If you compare Hadas Spaldin and Hadas Eden, right? But in this case, what are we really saying? Each one has a claim against the other guy. There are two claims and count. This one says, Kula Shali, you're a thief. And the other guy says, no, don't say I'm innocent. He says, you're a thief, Kula Shali. And each one has what? Tfisa. And with the Gemara saying, each one's Tfisa is like an Eidos. Each one's Tfisa is like an Eidos that he has 50%, right? And therefore, well, what's the suggestion? That on the other 50%, the guy should have to swear too. But on the other 50%, the guy is Eidos. Each one's holding on to the talis, each one's claiming the whole thing is his, and each one has 50% Eidos. That's not comparable to what the Gemara is talking about, Rav Chiya Kamaisa. Right? After the Gemara itself finally asks, but it takes the Madaf to get to it. If you look on Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Ella de Kamar. Gemara is like, you know, till then the Gemara is analyzing back and forth this whole Talmud Chomer. So the Gemara says, Ella, almost in the middle of the page on Dalet Amud, Ella de Kamar, Vitana Tuna. If it's really true that we don't have such a proof, so but what about the Raya from the Mishnah? Right? Ella de Kamar, Vitana Tuna. So the Gemara says, that's not a problem. Me dummy. Can you really compare these two things? Hasam lamalva yisleisade lalova leisleisade. In the case that you're talking about Rav Chiya Kamaisa, one way or another, right? It's a case where the malva has evidence and the lova doesn't have evidence. We want to use the fact that the malva has half evidence to spill over, right, a chiyuv shvua on the other half, right? The lamasa gleivin amibi. The Havalei Sadi, the Lova, if the Lova had evidence that he was innocent, the Lomasik Levele Midi, then didn't know the guy anything, right? Lovoy Rav Chiya Lishtabuay. Rav Chiya wouldn't in a situation where Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100, right? Shimon says, I don't owe you a penny, right? The Eidim, Levi, and Yehuda come along and they say, we know for sure that he owes 50. Right? And let's say Yisachar and Zvulun came along and they said, no, he doesn't owe 50. So Rav Chiya is going to say, it's halacha? Certainly not. Certainly not. So Hachi, Kihecha, Anan Sadi Bahai, Anan Sadi Bahai. Right? The double tfisa is like Eidus on each side. They cancel each other out. And yet there's a Shua. You know why? Because it's not a Shua's Mordim Mitzvah, it's a Shua's Mishnah. Now, once the Gemara takes this, it takes a daf later, fine. So do we still think, now the Gemara never says it's not a non-Sahadi, true. But the impulse to treat this seriously as the equivalent of a non-Sahadi, right, is no longer there. So what's fascinating is that the Rajba, that the Bali Tosas, that the Rush, that they still quote this sharp Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph, even though it's kind of neutralized on Dalet Amud Aleph. There's another Gemara. If you look even a continuation here, this is going to take a minute. Sure. I have a watch. The Gemara here goes on to make another suggestion. Eliki Itmar Vitana Tuna. The Gemara is so chastened by the rejection of this raya. It's like, what do they even think? An Abavina, you know? The Gemara says, no, you got it all wrong. The Tana Tuna was never meant to be a raya for a Pchia's halacha. The one that says that Hadas Eidim is the equivalent of Hadas Baldin in generating a Shvua on the rest of the money. No, we just got it all wrong. Somebody was, writing the notes in the shir that day. They just mixed it up. We meant to bring a raya from the Mishnah on the second din of Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya Basraisa, that's called. What's that? Rav Chiya Basraisa said to Rav Chiya, Ha'idich Rav Chiya, the other halakha Rav Chiya. Da'am Rav Chiya, Manali Be'adacha, you owe me $100. Hello, Marin Chaviyadi Alanun Zuz Ve'elach. The guy says, I owe you $100, I owe you $50. And by the way, here it is. He takes it out of his pocket, he puts it on, and he says, you don't take me to court for that. Right? Now you don't even have to wait, till you get the check in the mail. Here it is. Right? That's called Halach. So Rav Chiya said, Chayav. Just because he's discharging his obligation immediately doesn't mean that it isn't motive of excess. And the Rav Nachman, or the other man, Rav Shesha, sorry, in the Gemara, disagrees. Why? What's going on? My time, Halach Nami, come out of the mixas of time, Adami. Rav Chiya says, because Halach is still motive of mixas. Well, what's the issue? Rav Shesha, we'll see in a second, says it's not. Why? He says, listen, when I say you owe me $100 and you answer, I don't know, $100, but I owe you $50, that's motive of mixas. But if you say, I owe you $50 and here it is, so it almost has the effect of saying, you know what, there are two halachos here. There's a 50 which is disputed and a 50 which is completely undisputed. So you're kofar akol and you're motive akol. That's the idea, generally speaking. We'll have to think much more about it through the year, but that's the idea of Rav Shesha. And Rav Chiya said it's wrong. Halach nami kimod the mikzas. The Tana Tuna, what's a proof? Ah, shaymoch for the talis! Once again. Why? Ha, give it a tafis. And here there are two Girsos, you can see already the brackets in the Gemara. We have the brackets, Anansadi Demai the Tata Selechu. And some people don't have Anansadi anymore for this part, right? Kivin the Tafis, Halach. What do you mean Kivin the Tafis, Halach? Depends how you understand Halach. And it also depends on how you understand Tzvisa Shnayim Oksin. If Tzvisa Shnayim Oksin is Kazaka Koma Shetachat Yadam Arei Shalom, in Ochanami. Right? But, if it's not, so then you have to have a wider view of Halach. As long as it's not Mechusu Gabiya, maybe that's enough. Uktoni Ishba, Rachesh Sama Halach Potter, my time, Akim Dom Halach, Hani Zuze, the Kambodi, the Gavai, the Command, Naka, Malva, Dami, Behina, Hamishim, Holomodi, Kofra, Kolomodabako, Hukach Leko, Dos, Mikta, Satana, Rachesh Kasha Masnisim, So you can see what's going on here. Even in the applications of the second view in Rav Chiya, depending on how you understand the demanding nature of Halach, which I don't want to get into right now, right? Is the Gemara really saying that the tzisa of Kol Echad is practically like a gviya? It's like he has it in his pocket? Or not? Not so clear. So in Tosfos and the Rashba and the Rush quote the Gemara Gimel Amud Aleph Anan Sadi, what they're saying is that characterization of Tfisa in Shnayim Otsin, the Gemara never went back on that. What they went back on was whether it's a proof for the din of Hadas Eden being the equivalent of Hadas Baldin for purposes of creating a Shvua. Or like, take this Gemara. What they aren't sure about is whether this is a perfect model of Halach. But that Tfisa, competing Tfisos, each one is still considered a Tfisa, that's alive and well. But the Rambam and the Riva, and I'll show in a second Tosfos Rid and others will say that's exactly the Shakravatari of the Gemara. The Gemara had this wild idea that you could bring a proof for a Pia Kamaisa, and the Gemara said if it's that's not what's going on there at all. They didn't just mean that it's not a good Raya. They meant that's not what's going on in the Tzisas at all. It's not on Ansadi. They cancel each other out. And Rav Chiya Kamaisa and Rav Chiya Basraisa perhaps as well. There's another Gemara on Hail and Days. Here the Gemara says, also a Gemara that's quoted in discussions of Shnayim Olsen B'Talas, Hail and Days. This is 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 16 lines down. I think it's 16. The Chimachar, everybody have it? On Hail and Days. The Gemara says, the Chimachar Shazet Topos the Omeid. The Zet Topos the Omeid. Shvua Zulama. And the Gemara just asks the question straight out. There's a number of Gemaras that ask about the Shvua and the Mishnah. If this guy's holding on, and the other guy's holding on, let them be cholek. What do they need a Shvua for? Oh. So the Havamina, once again, seems to be that the Tfisa, even though there's rival competing tfisos, accomplishes something. And it's ground for chalukah in its own right. It sounds like you need the tfisa, and it sounds like the tfisa is responsible for chalukah. It sounds like a din bata. Question is, when the Gemara says, Amar Yochan, and Shvu Azut HaKanus HaKamim, Shulay Ekal Achav Yachar Holech, the Tokev, the Talisa, Shochaber, Ravam Shalihu, what do we mean by that Mashkan? Is the Gemara just saying, which is the way Bali Tosfos, and here the Ramban agrees with this part of it as well, the Gemara is saying that, you know, in Okanami, Kalecha Tofes, that's what's going on in Shnayim Otsin. However, the Shvua Drabanan Shalay Kalecha Tofes, it's a peripheral kind of a Shvua. It's not a fundamental Shvua. Or, what the Gemara is saying is, if this were a fundamental Shvua, then we'd have a Kasha because of the Tzvisas. Right? Once we decide it's not even that, our whole perspective on what's going on in Shnayim Otsin is different. Right? If the whole thing is the Shvua Shlo Yei Kol Echatoke Tamriso Shachadeiro, maybe we should reassess what the Tzvisas and what the Chalukah is too. Maybe that's just a Chalukah B'Torah Safe. So this idea of Chalukah B'Torah Safe or Vadai depends on how you read these three or four Gemaras. There's another Gemara, and that's the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph. That's a few other Gemaras. The Gemara says as follows. Boy Rab Zera. This is in the middle of Vav Amud Aleph at the two dots. Everybody have that? Very important Chakramatari. Boy Rab Zera. Tokfa Echa Defanenu. Mahu. Let's say one guy grabbed the talis, right, in our presence. Oh. So the Gemara says, Echadami. Well, what are we talking about here? Now, the background, of course, is going on in the Mishnah still. Shnayim Otsin B'Talis. Now, the first what happened was Shnayim Otsin B'Talis. Right? Then what happened was, Tokfa Echa Defanenu. Right? While this is all going on, one man grabbed the talis from the boat, from the other one. So the Gemara says, "Ma." So the Gemara says, "Hey, Chanami, what do you mean? What happened here exactly? We need more information, right? In the case, Ida Ashti, Ida Shasik. If the Ruben and Shimon, they're grabbing, each one is holding a piece of the talus. Each one's saying Kulash, right? Then all of a sudden, Ruben wrestles it out of or takes it out of the hands of Shimon. So what did Shimon respond? How did he react? Either shasik, if he was silent when this happened, then Aduye Odele. It sounds like he was admitting that it really isn't his. He thought he'd, you know, he thought he'd get away with it. He saw the other guy wasn't giving up, so he let it go. Hadas Baldin. Idikatzabach, if he's screaming and yelling, in other words, he's objecting. Not screaming, yelling, he's objecting. Right? My Havalelamed, what more do you want the man to do? As you say, this isn't called Alam Gavar. We're not passing called Alam Gavar. The fact that he wins, the struggle is irrelevant. Right? It's Shnayim Oksan Betalis. It's supposed to be Achloku. And what? So his sneakiness or his power is going to win him the object, or the other guy's object is a hodah. Of course, you have to go back to the state of Shnayim Oksan Achloku. Right? So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha d'shasik mi'tara. In the beginning, he's quiet. The Hadar, for too long, Tzavach, he objects. My, so what's the din? Midi ishtik, oduye odele, do we zero in on the initial shtika, right? Oh, Dilma, kimneka Tzavach, hashtoi, glay milsa, the haidishosak, meikara, Tzavach, kachazu Rabbanon, because he thought the Rabbanon would intervene. Okay, that's the discussion of the Gemara. So, what is the nature? What's going on in this suffix? So, many of the Rishonim explain that what's going on here is the Gemara really is not sure. They're not sure whether or not this is a Vadai Hodah Spaldin, or it's Vadai not a Hodah Spaldin. Right? The Chiddush Aran, this is, you know, a very famous, it's the most famous Chiddush Aran, certainly in Shnayim Oksan, probably in all of Amitziah. The Chiddush Aran says the suffix of the Gemara is as follows. Everybody admits, well, looks like, we'll take the view that this is a suffix Hodas Bavit. Right? Because of Mikara Shafak, Lubasov Tzavach, so let's call it a suffix Hodas Bavit. So what's the issue? The issue is, what's going on with Shnayim Oksan Betalis? If Shnayim Oksan, in other words, exactly the question that we've been discussing and which we've established is probably Shakta Betarias of different Gemaras, and certainly a debate among the Rishonim, and I'm trying to show you the debate among the Rishonim is connected to how you read to the Shakta Betaria of some of these Gemaras, in addition to how you square other called Alam Gavar in other cases as well. So the Chiddush Aran says that's exactly the Shakta Betaria. That's the suffix of this Gemara. The Gemara knows that this is probably a suffix hodah. The question is, what is the status of a suffix hodah in Shnayim Oksan Betalis? So that depends. If Shnayim Oksan Betalis is a din vadai, then a suffix hodah should not be able to be motzi from a vadai tzisa. And then you should say that you go back to the state of Shnayim Oksan Betalis. However, if the achloku of Shnayim Oksan Betalis is based on a suffix, then you have a suffix hodah, and a suffix hodah should be able to be motzi from a suffix mukzakus, or from no mukzakus. That's the famous interpretation of the Chiddush Aran. Look here. This is on page 2 in the new sheets. Keep the old sheets because we're not finished with them. She says, Shidu Gobetz Bobitsi of Abu Manalif, and it says, Ran, towards the end of the last piece on the second page. Well, Tricha de Ishtik. Nearly, the Bayan Aki Mefarsha. It's a very innovative reading of the Gemara, right? But you see that this is exactly how Rishonim were thinking about this topic. And that's what's also fascinating about it. The Bayan Aki Mefarsha, this is a way to read the Shakla Vitaria of this Gemara. The Vadai Pshitalan, it's obvious to us that Haidi Ishtik of the Sof Tzavach, that when you have a situation of Ishtik of the Sof Tzavach, Ikil Amitli Behodah, you know, you can perceive it as a Hodah, Kimid Ishtik, Ikil Amitli Behodah, Hodah, Kimid Ulu Besof Katzavach. Alahachi Kami Boilan, the Sufik is as follows. Mi Aminan, Talas Zoom in Chila the Sufik I saw Medes, is the Talas, when we Paskin Shnayim Oksan Yachloku, is that still in a state of suffix, notwithstanding the psak is yachloku b'suffix? Shlo yi the yodim shomili. We don't know who it is. Each one has a tfisa b'chatzi. But they both have a tfisa b'chatzi, and that cancels each other out. Right? The kivin shekeinap suffix oda, mahani, lahamida, b'shuz zeh shetakva. It's a suffix oda from a suffix mukzakus, or a suffix, you know, bailus, and that's fine. Odil Malkim in the Katzavach. Or should we say that since he screams, V'ikam name b'da hayishtik, lab mishim hodahu, ein tolin lomar shema hodah, l'fisha talazu af mitzchila loyar, some would tell us the safek. Or maybe we should say that really when we shine moksin and we said yachloku, that wasn't safek at all, but rather, the Anan Sadi, where did Anan Sadi come from? From the line again in the Gemara and Gimel Menalas, the one that Tosas and the Rajba zeroed in on, right? The Mai the Tafis Hai Didehu. It should be put in quotation marks. The Mai the Tafis Hai Didehu. If we think that Shai Mosul Metalis is based on Tfisa's Dadai, Shokalecha Bechetzi, then a Safek Hodah is not going to be Motzi from a Vadai Tfisa. The Kim should say, Ain Safek Hodah Motzi Bidei Vadai. Tirts of the Farish. If you want, I can give you another shot, says the Ron. The Chia Minan Odilma, Kiva the Katsava, Chachi Karminan. Apil no mer shetalas du besafek vayse menachas the tchila ein mamidin osa bechatz kazeh shetakpa the lake of the sukei behoda kiva de katsava chidloi nosa bevadai ahu de ishtik sabar kachazul rabbanan belav hoda klal. Says if you want to think that the suffik is not about shayim osa betalas, then the suffik is whether there's a suffik hoda or a vadai non hoda. But then we're going to go with the idea that shayim osa betalas is a safek. From the kamakam ki armina kivin ishtik odia odale lomar she'efshal it was b'hoda v'kivin shetalas b'safek haisal medes mitchila after safek hoda sagile. Aval ilu ha'inu tosin osa b'tchila ki ilu yishol shneyem bevadai. If we had thought that shnei mosa b'talas belonged to each one, bevadai hadavar barur she'en oda zu, this kind of hodah, which is either vadei lo hodah or safek hodah, certainly would not have the capacity mamidasa the cheskas atoteis. So then he says of the samach tira, you'll see in the continuation of the Gemara and what I write, he says, hod the boy lekamon ikdisha kilo takfamau evianu leparish kach. He says what motivates me to say this terrific pshat of the Gemara, right? It's another difficulty later on the daf, and this is really quite ingenious. So look later on the daf for a minute. Gemara says this off. In Tintzalomar, this is the first wide line. Everybody have it? The first wide line, and Vav Medalas. I'm still on Vav Medalas. In Tintzalomar, talk about the Fanena Motzin Osam Yad. But if you come to the conclusion that when it talks about the Fanena in the Safek Hodar, remember? Right? Mitchila Shatzak al Besot Tzavak, that Motzin Osam Yad. So then Ikdisha, let's say what happened was the guy, instead of grabbing it, he was Maktish, the Schepetz to Hektish. Right? Enema Kudeshas. That won't work either. But, in Tintzalomar, talk for Echad Befaneinu, Eimotzin Osam Yado, that if the guy grabs it, we'll let him keep it. So then, the Kedisha below, talk for Amal, let's say he didn't grab it. Right? But instead, he just said, I hereby bequeath this object, which is completely mine, even though the guy that disputes him, to Hekdesh. So he didn't physically grab it, he legally grabbed it in the name of Hekdesh, right? He used a light legal mechanism to try to change the status of the object rather than a physical tefisa. Kiven domar marav yirasan gavot from sirasa lehejit dami, command the talk for dami. Shall we say that since we normally think that in order to make a regular kinyan, you need a kinyan, but in order to be makdish something, right, verbally, you could accomplish that as well. So we treat this as if the guy really grabbed it and then he gave it to Hekdesh. Oh, Dilma Ashtamiya, like Tatfa. It's one thing to say it works, that doesn't mean it's legal equivalent. Uksiv, Ishki Akdesh is Beso Kodesh, Ma Beso Bershuso, of Kol Bershuso, La Fukehai, the Lo Bershuso. Meaning, you, to be mapped is something you have to be in control over. You can't take a disputed object and just, you know, declare it hektesh and consider that to be tzis. But what's the problem? So that's a good question too. That's a question. That's a question that Erie discusses. So maybe we'll get back to that. Oh, okay. What's the problem with this Gemara? The huge, huge problem with the Gemara. The huge problem is, what's the Gemara doing? The Gemara wants to compare whether Amiras or the Gavar can say, also the Hedgehog verbally, right, giving something to Hekdesh, is the equivalent of Takfa Echad Bifaneg. Right, the Shaimel for the Talis, if he grabs it from him, right, that's one case. And the other case is he doesn't physically grab it, they're still holding on, and he says, Kinni Mukhan, you know, Bahaknish is Hakes. Okay. Fine. Except there's one problem. The case of Tokum Faneno is a case of Shasak Ulubasov Tzavach. Where's the Shasak Ulubasov Tzavach in the Hekdesh case? Right? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. If it wasn't Shasak Ulubasov Tzavach, it wouldn't have been a problem. It's only because of the Safek Ados Bavin, right? Presumably. So Tosa says, look at the Tosas. Tosa says, Higdisha below Takfa Mahu. Tosfos says, Ika chasim and asefer, but it's obvious since we're equating these two things, so the hechatimtzi has to be a parallel hechatimtzi. It has to be a case where there's shasak and there's tzavach. And the question is, since there's no physical tfisa, there's a legal right equivalent, or, you know, simulation of tfisa, right? Amiraso de Gavoa Kimisiraso the Hedgehog. So does that work for this or not? That's Tosis's conclusion. The legal conclusion that these two things, that the legal impression that these two things have to be equated, right, reveals to Tosis that there's some missing information in the case, right, and they have to be equated. The Ramban wasn't so happy with this. Anshba, others, the Chiddush HaRan was particularly unhappy with it. So the Chiddush HaRan was motivated to try to figure out how the Gemara could have linked these two questions if they're two different sets of circumstances. The first case is a case where it's Shasak or Vesav Tzavach. And the simple reading of the Gemara is the second case is it's Shnayim Osam Batalis. There's no Shasak, there's no Vesav Tzavach, because he doesn't do it. He didn't grab it from him. And he gave it to Hekdesh. Where's the Shasak or Vesav Tzavach? So the Ram says, the common denominator in the Gemara, the issue in the Gemara is not about Shasak or Vesav Tzavach. That's a Hechatimtzi. That's a Nafka Mina. What's the real issue in the Gemara? Whether Shnayim Osam Batalis is a Din Vadai or a Din Safek? Is it based on Tfisa? Or is it a Safek? Ah! One Nafka Mina will be, if you have a Safek, Hoda, that's the Resha, that's the Gemara's that's a case of Safek Hodah. So that's going to be an askamina to establish whether or not Shnayim Osam is Vadai or Safek. And then the Gemara says, I think we could possibly have a second askamina. And that'll be, let's say, Makdish the Chefetz from the state of Shnayim Osam. No Shasak on Saf Tzavach. The question is as follows. Since there's no need for a physical control here, so the question is, whoever the owner is, but one of these two guys is the owner, right? So maybe we should say on the chance, right, that he's the owner, because Shnayim Osam Talis is only a safek, right? And you don't need physical control in order to accomplish hekdesh. So Amiras Ligvar should be kin to see Rasul Mahajim. It's not the same case, but it's the same issue if the issue is the status of Shnayim Osam. So look at the next run. I printed that as well. If you don't hear what he said, I'm just putting it together. But Samakhtira, Hodabaya, the Kamonik, Disha, Kilo Takfa, the last line of the previous one. Now, Hiviyani Lafarishkech. It's fascinating. It's a glimpse into his thinking. He said, what motivated me to come up with this amazing pshat? He doesn't say it's amazing because he's humble. I'm saying it's amazing. Right? Well, what motivated this creativity? The answer is, it solved a huge parshanut problem in the continuation of the Gemara. How do you compare two cases that have nothing to do with each other? Or where the main ingredient seems to be missing? The answer is you can if the case isn't what's important, but the underlying issue is common to both. That's what he says. Aram Tirish is Elishon. Him Tzim Salam. We talk about Chabbafaneinu. What's him? Yado Ignisha Kilo Vechule. Ikanameda Tuva. My Kani Boyla. What's going on? What's this question? Heicha Sfirulon. The Kivin Dami Rasa the Gavara Kam Sirasa the Hedrik Timan the Takfa Dami. For Takfa Lo Mahani Alimitam Oda. Even if it was Takfa, it's only going to help you because it's a Safek Oda or a Hoda. Ubik Disha. The Tosa says the answer is we're talking about a case. When he hears them saying, I'm giving it to Hekdesh, it should, it's like Shnika, Biachakach Tzavach, the muscle, the Acher, Midashtik, Odiodele, Odilma, Savahashta, Mia Loitapfa, the Choshe Loitapfa, Mayatzvach, Ains of the Chuber, says the Ran. The Hamaitzin and Raya is Safik Bechoros. The Gemara later on speaks about Safik Bechoros. There's no case, there's no issue there. Shalsakol b'sof tzavach. Awesome, likely made by that. It doesn't. It's missing here, and it doesn't make sense to the continued shach of Atari. The Fikach nearly says the Ran. The Hachitay Rusha. This is a pshat. Hachitay Rusha d'shmaitza. Im Tzimtzulam b'tok v'achot b'faneinu motzi enosam yado. Right. If you hold that. That Safek Hodah will work. Why do you hold that? Because it's only Safek Yachloku that Ikdisha in a Mukadeshes. Shekivin She'ein Mamidinosa B'yadam Yishuv Safek Hodah Zu Alma, if you don't, Alma Shanu Tovsim Oso Kilo Hoysa Metchila Bevadai Bechetzer Shozeh Bechetzer Shozeh. If you say that the Takfa B'faneinu is not going to work, because originally each one had a badai chetzi, and you can't create a, you can't be moti from a badai with a safek, then the kedisha is not going to work either, because each one has a badai chetzi. You can't take the other badai, the other guy's badai chetzi, and be makdish it. The kinsha came pshita on the kedisha in a mukadesha, so you could makdish mamon shurusho chaver on a gamri. Listen to the language. Because it's still, each one's still accusing the other of being a total liar. Anyone's saying kosherly. It doesn't matter. But if legally the tvisa, the equivalent of a tvisa, of a tvisa metaltalin, it's like being marked as someone else's acknowledged object. Let's say, oh, I claim it's my object. But it's, I took it from his rishos. That's called gezel. Until you prove it, we believe that it belongs to the other fellow. But, oh, Shabin Bain Shatoma Shahima Tila Shoshneya, Bavadai, Hov Mina Tzafek. Kivin Shema Midinosa Bershus Hatokev, Elabo Dogamura, Ki Ilu Oysa Shokaber Bavadai, Ari Himan Lozeh, Kelet Klaub, Oso Chetzia, Shatei Bukudesh, as Mikocha, Aval. Im Tim Tzalomba, the Tokva Echad, the Panenu, Ein Motzin Oso Miado, but if you say that a Safek Hoda can work, because it's only a Safek Bailus or Safek Yakaloku, we don't think that each one owns half. The piece I wrote before. To begin with, we look at it's either all Reuven's or it's all Shimon's. Each one is holding half, each one is holding part. They're neutralizing each other. Neither one is holding anything. Now we can have a safek even when there's no hoda'a and achakach tzavach beigdisha kilo takva mahu v'afil lo shasat chaveiro elo tzavach, because they're screaming every minute. But there's still a 50% chance that it's Reuven's. And we don't consider that he's breaking the laws of Tisa. The kivin the mamon zed the safek shal shneim uamid adayin yesh the kol echad the echad should be echad instead of the acher eze din afilu bechetzi acher afilu safek odom hamilei tafka legam hejet lo mafkinan rishus tofes topesh in koko chal bishus chavei or the mechusav tkifo mashicha. As long as there's no physical control, there's nothing he can do. Where you don't need physical control to be makdish, the chomokom chayil v'lo mechasher be'mesira. The kivin shemomot at the safek omid chayil v'lo mechasher be'sfeika l'inyan isura commanded. There are a lot of interesting lashonos here which I don't want to get. They talk about b'chor and other sfeikos I don't want to get into right now. This is a very creative run. He basically tells you where he got it from, and how he innovatively learned the Gemara. I'm not going to demonstrate this now. I don't know if I'll have a chance in general, but if you look at the Ramban here in Davav Medalet, half of it is in the Ramban, but not the Shnei Mokhtzin Safek part. You can almost see, even though the Ramban doesn't give credit, I don't know whether it was conscious or unconscious, but to me at least, it seems like you can trace the development. The Ramban made a breakthrough in this Gemara. The Ramban said, unlike the Bali Tosas, that's continuation, Hikdisha, below Takfa, is not talking about Shasak, and he also has his own way, you know, to break the, you know, the parallelism. You know, so notwithstanding there not being an actual parallelism, there's a common denominator, a legal common denominator to the question. The Ran took it a giant step further and applied it to the whole concept of Shnayim Oaks and the Talmud. Now this idea that it might be Safek is, I think, also evident in the Tosfos Rid. Let's go back to the first. Oh, I should say one thing first. Without proving it now, because it's a little too late, the Ksos is of the opinion that the only way that the Rambam could have read this Gemara is if he held like the Chiddush HaRan. Okay, I'll leave you with that. Simin Kuf Lamed Ches, I believe, in Choshen Hishvan. The Ksos says, the Rambam passes this Gemara, you shouldn't be able to pass in it, because in general he thinks that whenever there's an instance of Omar in a Gemara, you know, we pass in that way. So he says, the only way to explain the Rambam is if you hold like the Chiddush HaRan. That works beautifully for the Rambam Shita of Yadam Agas, but there's no Shua, and for the Rambam Shita of Shaim Yoshvim Bitzar Barema, and we'll see more like in the Rambam. The Tosfos Rid, look back at last week's Maamar Chomos for a minute, clearly operates not with Vadai, but with Safek, and even quotes the language of Simcha. On page 2 of last week, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, Shnayim Ochas and Betales, okay, Pirish Dafka Ochasit, unlike Mariva, right, and maybe even the Rambam, the Tosfos Rid says it has to be Ochasit. But not because Kol Echad is Tofes B'Chetzi is considered a Bailam on Chetzi, you'll see, but simply Kivdu B'Yadam Lo Aminan Kol Dalam Gavar, to eliminate Kol Dalam Gavar. Right? She'ein Zadin She'nomar La'olim T'kofa Sachalash V'totia She'v'yado V'tiskava. As long as the object, you know, is not, you know, in a state of chaos, right, you're not going to initiate chaos to say Kol Alam Gavar. Have the law you shame Tusin, could go into Manukha Sinta Kabayu, but if it was in a Sinta, Umar Rivan Allah, then I'm reading called Alam Gavar. Kinabukha Parakhaf Kabatim, Kabi Ayar, but I'm a Minso Betray, then I need to be called Alam Gavar. Babatalpim, Babakakos, Shavin, Ramin Hassan Zelmer, Shalavosai, Amrav Nachman called Alam Gavar. Makshin and Hassan, the Gemara, they're asked, I heard the time of Machat Parva Kamar, the Yolda, the King Mocha Shepkoso, the Yolda, Zelmer, Shalomakarti, Zelmer, Shalakarti, Yolda, Yakloko. Apa Gab, Damas, Isin, Ukim, the Imperica Show, Kesokhus. You know that Gemara about Machat Parva is Yakloko is Sumchus. Sumchus says what? Mamanam Mutab Safek. Choken. Shafir Makshamina. El Kochlo, Pligar Abana led the Sumchus. It's true, Abana disagree with Sumchus. But that's because, in that particular case, there's a mukzakos. Ela mishum diikam lemocher chazaka de mamona. Havalei lokeach motzu mechamal avaraya. Havalei leike chazaka, havar minin yachloku kesumkos. Metar it's also lahi, isle dror de mamona, lahai isle dror de mamona, havalei lochei demar le demar, demar le demar. Pierce also my shifkur shus shneim shalt. I love shit. Siyasim rishus amokha v'nichus al rishus al keach v'nispapaknu rishus miyal de v'dami kibu v'dami ki ilu shneim okazin ba. What is he saying? Sumchus's case is like shneim okazin. Sumchus like shneim okazin? That's mamad amutal? It's not that. Abul hachay demar le demar to the olam loy so the bekas kosvecha hukachein roi lebezim adun miyachoku El Mistalkin and Adin Roman called Alam Gav. So what does the Tosfos Rid say? Sumchus is a model of Shailos and Metalios. The Ravon says the same thing. The Ravon in the beginning of Bava Tzia. The Ravon again in Bava Kama, Daf Mem Bav, Daf Kuf. The Ravon in a number of places equates Shnayim Oks and Metalios and Sumchas. I we don't paskin like Sumchas. We'll paskin like Sumchas as long as there's no Motzi Mechabel of a Rai. On the other hand, compare and contrast that. We're not going to be able to do it today, but we'll do this when we finish this off in 2 weeks, and then we'll move on to the Gemara. And I'll just show you the Gemara for a second on Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara there itself asks from Sumchas and Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Lema Matnisa in the middle of Beis Amud Beis. A little lower down, a little lower than halfway. Everybody have it? Is it like a period? Lema Matnisa in the low Kitsumchas. Sumchas doesn't need a shvuah, and our Mishnah needs a shvuah. So our Mishnah can't be more the Havamina. And if there wasn't a discrepancy of shvuah, then the Mishnah would be like Sumchas. Right? That's, I think, where Tosfos Rid got it from. And the Ravon. Right? Namely, that the model of Sumchas is alive. Elamai, the Gemara says, Rabbanan. So if it's not Sumchas, who is it? The Rabbanan of Sumchas. Ha'omer amotzi mecharel of Araya. Ah. So there are two ways to read the question and the answer here. What does the Gemara mean? And what? And the Mishnah is not based on amotzi mecharel of Araya. Well, that depends on our question whether Shnayim Oksan is based on Tfisa. Anan Sadi de Kaleka Topos de Shalom. That works well with Rabbanan. Right? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, yeah, our Mishnah is not like the Chachamim. Yom Rishon Rabbanon, I'm sorry. Alav Araya, the Eidim, the Ilo Lo Gavi Midi, Baha Chachok and the Shvua. Here we have Yachloku, and there we have Motzim Mechel Alav Araya. And then what's the Gemara's answer? Haima Yom is Bishlam Rabbanan Hasam Lo Tropsi Travayu. Am Rabbanan Motzim Mechaber Alav Araya. There you have one toe face. So it's Motzim Mechaber Alav Araya. Hachid the Travayu Tropsi Pol Gila Bishvua. Eliyahu is Besumchas Hashem Hasam Lo Tropsi Cholkin Below Shvua. Hachid the Travayu Tropsi like Kol Shekin. That's the Gemara's Shaka Vatari. So there are two ways to read this whole Rabbanan part of the Shaka Vatari. One is the way Rashi read it, which is look at the other part of Rashi. Hachi garsin iyam is bishlam rabbanon hasam bo tafsi travayu ham rabbanon, but hachi the tafsi travayu pal gib shvua eliyam is sumkas ma hasam bo tafsi travayu mer sumkas pal gib lo shvua tafsi travayu kol shekain. Rashi seems to interpret that the Gemara is bothered by the rabbanon because the rabbanon should not believe in cholken. Right? Because they believe in Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya. Then the Gemara's answer is, well, maybe in this case it would be different since there are two people. Rabbeinu Chananel, Omin an Elamai Matznisan Enos Lukas Alek Rabbanan, Amai Nishbarim, Ha Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya Omri. Rabbeinu Chananel read the Gemara completely differently than Rashi. The question of the Rabbanan is not the Psak, it's the requirement of Shvua. In addition, in other words, you should be able to say Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya because each one is Tofes Chatzi Abeged, and each one should be able to say to the other guy on his Chatzi Beged, what? Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya, and the Yesh should not take a Shmua. So the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel once again reflects these two positions. Rashi seems to be saying that Shnayim Oksan Betalis is not Kalecha Tofes Pechetzi. And you wouldn't say Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya. Maybe Shnayim Yachad Tofesim, maybe nobody's Tofes. Therefore there's a substantive difference between the Rabbanan there in Sumchas and the Mishnah here. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that the whole question of the Gemara is why do you need a Shmua? After all, the Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya of the Rabbanan never requires a Shmua. Then the question is, because they're both tofes, each one's tofes v'chetzi. Then the question is how to read the maskana, the answer. So that we'll get to next time when we finish this up, and then we'll move on to Chazal Gavar and a few other, then the continuation.